spirituality? I mean, how do you define it? Is it chanting? Could be. Is it prayer? Is it burning sage? From the way y'all burn a sage, it must be. And how do you practice it? How do you practice spirituality? Is it something that needs to be discovered within ourselves? Is it something that is already innately a part of us? The big question for me is, how can it or how does it relate to good mental health? Spirituality has been defined as something greater than self. It's something more than a sensory awareness of our life experience. It's the idea that we are connected to or a part of something cosmic or divine. I'm going to tell you right now, that definition means absolutely nothing to me. I am not sure what something greater is, actually. Like, is there a God? I don't know. I mean, I was brought up to believe in God, but I don't know. After years of research and study, I just don't know. Are we a part of a bigger universe, a divine nature? I don't know that either. And furthermore, for those who do know, how the hell do you know? I have a million questions about spirituality and absolutely zero answers. So today we're talking to someone who does. Leslie B. is a spiritual advisor, counselor, life coach, and all around good people. She's going to answer some of my questions. Hopefully she'll answer some of yours too. So let's get into it. I'm Angela, and this is Sessions with My Therapist.
So how you doing, Leslie?
I'm doing amazing. I'm absolutely amazing, Angela. How are you today, my dear?
And I'm great. It's actually really good to see you again. I'm looking forward to getting a reading. I'm actually really excited to get a reading. So just because there's been a lot going on and, you know, I'm being pulled in many directions, but I feel good about it. So I definitely want to talk about that later. But first, I want to get into what your thoughts are on religiosity versus spirituality, because we talked about clinical studies showing that spirituality had more of a positive effect on depression, anxiety, even psychotic thoughts and things like that, as opposed to religiosity. So first, before we get to that, tell us what spirituality means to you.
So to me, spirituality is, it is the active act of learning yourself from the inside out, figuring out who you are, what makes you tick, what triggers you, what makes you happy. Spirituality is you connecting with your spirit, first recognizing that your spirit is a separate entity, and then connecting and building a relationship with that entity. That's what I sum spirituality as.
Okay. I like that. So it is recognizing that the body and I guess the mind mm-hmm. are different. Is that what you're saying?
The body, the mind, and the spirit are three separate entities. Oh. My body has the ability to function, although mm-hmm. not at a high cognitive level, but my body has the ability to function without my brain. It cannot function without my soul.
Right.
My brain can function without my body, but it can't function without my soul.
Okay.
And my soul can function without my body or my mind. They're three separate entities.
Wow. Okay. That knocked me over a little bit. I've never heard it explained that way. I think when we talk to spiritualists, or for those of us who have grown up, like I grew up religious, there wasn't any mention of spirituality. So what was that experience like for you growing up? And when did you start to transition to more spiritual, ways of thinking as opposed to that kind of religious guidance?
So honestly, it was in my early 20s.
Okay.
I grew up in the church. My grandparents, my grandmother started one church. My grandfather is a founder at another church with his name on the pews and all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
We went to Sunday school, evening service, usher board meetings, everything. Okay. So I'm going to say this. Religion wasn't a detriment to me, like I think a lot of people sum it up to be. Mm-hmm. It's the people that are in the religious sectors that give you the nasty taste in your mouth. I didn't really have a problem with religion. I had a problem with the church itself. Okay. And so that's what kind of made me step back a little bit and start to look at everything. Mm-hmm. And then I started to notice other things like, you know, if what you're telling me about this entity we call God is what you're saying it is, then why is there so much suffering? Why is there so many people hurt? Why do very heinous and bad things happen to children? And, you know, it was a lot that I was trying to process and figure out just because of what I seen outside my door every day. So that's kind of what drove the wedge between me and religion. And like, my father was spiritual. My father wasn't really religious. Okay. He was spiritual. My mom was more religious because she was afraid of the things my father had done when they were together. Oh. So she was like, it's safe over here. And I like it over here. So praise God, because it's safe over here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I like it over here. You get where I'm going?
Yeah. Okay. So it's like a hedge of protection. It's, you know, because of those defined rules that come with religion. You know, as opposed to spirituality being a little freer, but there are defined parameters within religion that say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And if you do this, you are outside of this realm of what is considered to be consistent with the loving God and all those things and how he wants you to be. So that makes perfect sense.
You know, something I noticed, though, a lot of people switch to spirituality because of what you just said. Mm-hmm. They feel like, you know, there is no rules. And it's almost like parenting, right? Uh-huh. The child is always going to go with the parent that doesn't have rules.
Right.
The child is always going to go to the parent that they feel like is not going to discipline them. Mm-hmm. And then people get into spirituality and realize there are rules.
Okay.
And if you don't do the right thing, you will get spanked. Right?
Oh, wow.
So it's different. People are running to spirituality and not realizing that it's actually one and the same, because religion is an offshoot of spirituality.
Okay.
They took our spiritual beliefs, like the Bible, the Quran, all that stuff. They're basically factions of the laws of Ma'at and Kemeticism, ancient Kemeticism. So if you go through all of the Tree of Life and every branch on the Tree of Life, and then go through the laws of Ma'at and all that stuff, you'll see they basically loosely took those stories and principles and like, oh, guess what we're going to do? Finesse. Mm-hmm. Because those aspects, they took the aspects that were controllable and they mass produced those with their own little twist. Mm-hmm. Everything in this society is about control. Mm-hmm. It's about commerce and control, the two C's, commerce and control, right? So they basically took what we were already sort of accustomed to and flipped it.
Okay.
So that it's familiar. You're not afraid of familiar things. When things are familiar, you're like, wait, you might be a little hesitant, but once you sense the familiarity, you go, oh, okay, no, that's okay with me. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we go to church and we're okay with praising, singing, shouting. Those are all things we've been doing for years, catching the Holy Ghost. Whenever there's a group of us, we'll catch the spirit singing trap music.
Yeah.
You don't realize it, but it's sort of the same feeling.
Right.
It's because it's your energy and your spirit all coming together. It has nothing to do with an outside entity.
Right.
So we're basically just familiar with religion or accepting of religion because it has aspects of it that's already familiar to us because of who we are and where we come from. Why do you think, no offense to nobody that's going to watch this, but why do you think white folks go to church and they're in and out that motherfucker in 30 minutes? They're like, all right now. Did we praise them? Okay.
Yeah. So you're saying there's a lack of like connected spirit is what you're saying.
In a sense. Yeah. In a sense, I feel like if you notice, right, more ethnic people are more religious. Ethnic people, we tend to be more religious. We hold on to that with every fiber of our being. Yeah. And that's because every fiber of our being is already used to shouting, singing, praising, gathering. Mm-hmm. That's what we're used to. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it for centuries. And they know that. Okay. That's why they throw that in there as a control factor, because they know that. Where are you going
to
go?
Because we're already connected to it.
We're already connected. That's like people that think about this, right? They would say back in the day, you poured libations. Mm-hmm. Now we call it pouring it out for your homies. I'm going to pour something out for my homies. Back in the day, that was libations. There are so many similarities to things we did then that we do now. That's why they say there's nothing new under the sun. They just rebranded it, repackaged it, and sold it back to us.
And sold it back to us. Yeah. Wow. So why do you think it is that so many African Americans kind of shy away from the spiritual realm, that spirituality, when it's not connected to Jesus or Yahweh? Why are we separated from that?
Ooh, that's one of my favorite questions. Fear-mongering. Mm-hmm. Fear-mongering. You know how many people I tell I do tarot cards, and they go, oh my God, that's that devil shit. That's devil worship. You sacrifice the chickens and it's voodoo. And and I'm like, yeah, I woke up like this one day.
Yeah.
I literally woke up out of my bed one day and was like, what the fuck is that? Shut up. Okay. So it's, again, programming. We've been programmed to think that all this stuff, and think about it, that's really clever. So now if I don't want you to investigate the whole story, I just want you to take what I'm giving you. I'm going to glamorize the part that I want to give you and demonize the rest of it. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called black magic. They're demonizing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why a lot of us shy away from it. And that's why a lot of us are really hesitant to even if we do get into spirituality nowadays. I'm noticing, people say, oh, I'm spiritual. But really what that is they got a couple crystals and they're burning some sage.
Okay. So tell us what spirituality is in that sense. Why wouldn't you consider that spiritual? What is the meat that is missing?
I'm going to say that those are elements of being spiritual, right? Those are elements. I'm not saying anything is wrong with it, but what I'm saying is, like you said, you got to have meat. You can't just have potatoes. Mm-hmm. If you're going to cook me a meal, I want the whole damn thing. Okay. Right. I'm all of it. Right. So it's like, while having crystals and sage is good, if you're not going down, breaking your own curses and generational curses, if you're not going back, fixing, righting your wrongs in your life, if you're not, like I said, nourishing your spirit. And so, you know how many people I know carrying crystals and sage in their house and doing affirmations Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're shaking ass, fucking, sucking, selling drugs, doing all types of shit.
Yeah.
Okay. And while I get it, you know, it's better safe than sorry. But if you're saying this is not religion, then you can't treat this like the religious system. You can't do what you want all fucking week fucked up. And then on Sunday, go, oh no, I'm praying and I'm repenting. It doesn't work like that because your soul and your spirit is not getting fixed or fed that way.
Right.
But you have to be moving accordingly. If you're going into spirituality, you have to start paying attention to your spirit. I think that's the main thing that people are missing. They're trendy. People are saying, I'm going into spirituality, and they want to be trendy and they want to make cute status messages. You got to have the meat to go with the potatoes. You have to actually be feeding and forgiving and learning and growing. And it's you. I tell people this all the time. It's not about books. It's not about tarot cards. It's not about crystals. It's not about sage, palo, none of that shit. It's about you. It's about you. You could literally uplift your vibration and take yourself to another level spiritually with nothing but yourself and your thoughts, because your thoughts rule your whole entire being. Thoughts and intention rule your whole entire being.
I've heard that before, in a way of like thoughts become things, in a sense, like you manifest the things you concentrate on the most, the things you think about the most manifest in our lives. And I'm definitely can attest to that. I've thought and put all my energy into this thing, and then there was a positive, or I just actually saw something came to fruition in the real world. And so of course I was amazed. I was like, and it didn't and the crazy thing is, outside of your kind of conscious intentional space, it's like something that you concentrated your energy on, but then you kind of put it in the back of your mind, but all the time you're still concentrated. And then you're not reminded of the thing, even after the thing happens, until later when you see what I put on my vision board or whatever. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. I saw this.
No, I was about to say, you want to hear a funny story?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have this pretty necklace right here. And it's, I'll never pronounce it right. Cochabon Jasper, but they call it Bumblebee Jasper, right?
Okay.
So I made a post years ago, just a post on Facebook, and I shared a picture of a piece of this stone. Mm-hmm. And I said, if somebody would be so nice to get me some for my birthday, I would love you forever. Da-da-da, whatever, just a post. I literally seen it, fell in love with it. It was like, oh, for some reason, it's calling my name, and I don't know why. 3 years later, here, I'm doing tarot card readings. One of my clients comes from nowhere and says, Leslie, it was Christmas. I bought you a gift, and I want you to have it. You can't say no.
Wow. Okay,
I can't say no. Open the box, and it's this, with a piece of paper saying it's Bumblebee Jasper, telling me all the properties. When she handed it to me, I was like, shut up. I actually went back through my Facebook, screenshotted the post, and sent it to her because she didn't believe me.
Yeah.
She said, yeah, it only took you 3 years. I said, well, hey, that's the power of manifestation. You get it when you're supposed to have it. I didn't know when I was going to get it. I just knew that I wanted it.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, well, let's transition that from, I guess, physical things to that mental health realm. Where does spirituality fit into having good mental health? And can what we just talked about, those kind of power of thoughts, affect our mental health?
Yes. The power of thought is the reason why, the number one reason why, in my opinion, why we have mental health issues, why we struggle with mental health. It's the power of thought. And a lot of us don't realize that we get programmed with other people's thoughts through movies, TV, and music. So while, think about this, if you're already, you know, in a messed up space, like, oh, I just, you know, broke up from my relationship with my parents isn't really good. I feel kind of estranged from my family. Okay. I, you know, I had a kid or something, so I got a couple extra pounds on me. And now you're watching TV all day. The TV says, if you don't got a relationship, you ain't shit. If you got, you know, a perfect body with no waist and a big old butt. And I still don't know how that's true, but you ain't beautiful, you know. So what you already think, combined with what you're being inundated with, is the reason why a lot of us have poor mental health, because it takes so much for your brain to actually go, is this true? Is this not? I don't know. You put it in here, so I don't know. Are we? Is this how we feel, or is this not? Mm-hmm. A lot of us don't even really know how we think. Meaning, when somebody says something to you, you might say to yourself, "Oh, well, you know, that didn't bother me at all." But you went and told 8 people what they said. So you're not a person who outwardly will be affected, but you're going to internalize everything. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us really need to sit back and figure out what kind of people we are. And I'm the type of person, if you realize that you're an internalizer, then don't let stuff sit on you. Somebody say something to you at that moment, you go, oh, no, 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 wait, I don't agree with that. You're not just going to say that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's what we think. Our thoughts, you're right. Our thoughts govern every aspect. There was a study, I read one time the study, and they said that literally if you had like glasses of water and they write good affirmations on one glass of water and negative affirmations on another glass of water. And then they microscoped the water. Mm-hmm. So the water with the good affirmations, all the molecules of the water with the positive affirmations, they were like really healthy and like robust. And it was just, they were moving around really fast. Mm-hmm. The molecules of the affirmations with the bad words, the bad affirmation water, they were like barely making it, and they were all disfigured. And you are a vibration. Mm-hmm. Every aspect of you is a vibration. Words are vibration. Mm-hmm. So that saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is a lie. Mm-hmm. Because any vibration has the ability to alter any other vibration. Mm-hmm. That's why I tell you, be careful what you say to people. I can change your whole mood right now. Say some crap to you, change your whole mood right now, and then smile and go, well, have a nice day. You'll be like, yeah, after I choke you out. Like,
right. What do you mean? Right. Have a nice day. it's that transference of energy thing. Yeah.
Yes. And the words are the carrier.
And so I think a lot of people, when they are, and this is not to say that just positive affirmations can heal you from depression or anything like that, but the point is that we have to be very intentional about how we move and the things we say throughout our day. Just like when you mentioned earlier, you start out having a bad day, somebody can say something crazy to you, or you could wake up and feeling bad, and then you kind of start to seek out things that affirm those negative feelings.
You know, it's crazy. When I'm feeling some type of way about something, when I go on Facebook, the first post I see will be affirming. And yes. So you have to be intentional about even sharing it, reading it, moving through, because you internalize the energy. And again, that's all you're going to see all day. If that dude you messing with cheating on you, the first post you're going to see is, why these niggas cheating on you? And then you share it.
Yes.
Thank you. And then the next thing you get is a bunch of stories and comments on the post about how they cheating. And then your energy is just messed up. Instead of being intentional with the things that you allow into your energy, into your space, into your psyche. And I have learned that through therapy. They don't necessarily call it good spiritual practices or good spiritual health, but they say, be careful about, you have to curate really the things that come into your life.
So can I just interject one thing? You say therapy doesn't call them good spiritual practices. But if you think about this, the people that started therapy and all that stuff, they already know us. Mm-hmm. They know your body. They know your soul. They know your mind. So they're not going to call it that because they already know that they've demonized it and fear-mongered it to shit. And they know if they call it that, you ain't gonna come. You're gonna be out of hell.
You better hit me with the headline. You're right. You are very right. Because you're right. It's already negative, especially within our community, within the Black community. You know, we talk about that spirituality. We talk about things that are not of God, or what we have been given as our representation of what God is and what he thinks. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, it just so happens to align with what the other people who are telling you this want you to, you see what I'm saying? So I definitely get it. So because it's been demonized, then they have to be careful with the language because it'll turn a lot of people off.
And it's all the same thing. We're all getting healed. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I've learned something. Since my, I guess, split with formal religion, mm-hmm. I realized something. It's 1,000 ways to skin a cat, and that's exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They've tailored the way to skin your cat to you and your belief system, but they're all telling you the same thing, how mm-hmm. to skin a cat, how mm-hmm. to get healed, how to be loved. I did a lot of little studying after I decided I wasn't really going to be religious. Okay, so I left religion. When I did my little split with religion, I did a lot of researching. I almost became, I almost joined the Nation. I almost became a 5%er. Okay, I almost did a few other things that we're not going to talk about. Okay, and what I learned was everybody's saying the same thing. They just wrapped it up different. It's just a little presentation. It's like, you going to give me a burger. Cool. Wendy's got a burger. McDonald's got a burger. Burger King got a burger. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a burger, but how I like going here because I like the presentation, or I like their bun, or mm-hmm. I like, you know, mm-hmm. that's what it is. They just basically said, we're going to teach you guys the same principles, just in a manner that's more befitting based on your region, based on your ethnicity, mm-hmm. based on. Yep, I learned that when you get into the meat of things outside of, like, you know, the Quran telling you how to build a bomb and shit. Outside of that, most of these books are basically the same.
The same thing. They are the same thing.
And it's because they know at the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference how far they try to stray you from your soul and your spirit. You're going to come looking for that. You're mm-hmm. going to come looking for that salvation. You're going to come looking for that healing.
You know, I have a friend and he said something. He dropped some science on me one time. And he said, you know, the first thing when you are captured, and they drop you off in a new place, the first thing you do is try to figure out how to get home. It's mm-hmm. like all the other things, the assimilation and all those come, I guess, when you start to make your plan to figure out how to get there. But the first instinct is how to get home. And it that resonates with me spiritually. You know what I mean? Because religion, like you, it didn't. First of all, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, the package that I received from where I was born, and it just, those stories didn't make any sense. But, you know, trying to be a good Christian, you set aside logic. And I remember asking my sister, how can you believe these things, or how can you be so intelligent? Are you willing to put aside logic to continue to follow this religion or this path? And she said, yes. And my sister's a genius. And so that didn't sit well with me.
I know you were like,
I can't do that. I cannot do that. And so I feel like ever since then, I realized that I have been in a strange land. And funny thing, while I was going through that, that's when all the anxiety and the depression and all these kind of different things, the weight gain, all those things started to just really culminate and just pound on me. When I realized that I'm in a strange land mentally, I need to find my way home. And that took me out of religion, westernized, standardized Christianity. That's specifically what I'm talking about. I can't speak to other religions, but what I practice. And if, and I feel like ever since then, I've been on this journey to find
me. Yes.
And so,
and that's spirituality. That is spirituality. That is,
well, hot damn. Who knew?
That's what I'm saying. I think what I was really trying to say is, like, I think people put too much into spirituality. They feel like they have to. Maybe that's how I should word it. People feel like they have to have tarot cards and crystals and all that stuff to be spiritual. And you don't. Mm-hmm. Oh, you already have a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You're already spiritual. You just have to connect with that spirit. Pay homage to that spirit. Show that spirit she's about something.
Yeah.
Because then she's going to start working with you. Like, oh, you recognize me?
Yes.
I forgot I was down here. Shut up.
Yes, exactly. It's like the moment I start to invest in myself, invest in my well-being, invest in my health, my education, things that were important to me, all the other, that energy started to follow. You know what I mean? Like, I found myself in searching for ways to make myself and my existence better. You know what I mean? And I was drawn to these things. It wasn't a hard road to find a therapist. First shot, found one that worked with finished school, just like that. I mean, so all those things started to align. And so I had no idea that I was on a spiritual journey.
Thank
you, And see, because, you know, we grow up in that religion, we're told that these are things that are demonic and not of God and of the devil. We have no idea.
So can I just say something about religion really quickly? I feel like westernized religion isn't as bad as people make it out to be once they go to spirituality. My main gripe with westernized religion is they don't use the Bible as it was intended to be used. They read the scriptures like verbatim, and they talk to us like, you need to read these scriptures as they were meant to be read. Mm. I need you to get into the etymological definition, etymological. I think I said it wrong. Definition. Okay. Yeah.
But we get it.
Yep. I need you to break down these parables. I need you to, a lot of that book is astrology, astronomy, and parables. There's a whole, for all the people that don't know that are looking for the cheat code, the book of Psalms is a whole spell book. You can literally, my grandfather used to tell me when I was a kid and I didn't understand it until now at almost 40. He used to tell me, read a psalm a day, baby girl, and that's all you need. Mm-hmm. There are literally words in those psalms that will uplift your spirit. There are psalms in there that will bring protection over your family, your home. There are psalms, and there's a psalm in there for everything.
What you're saying is that spirituality and religion can coexist.
Yes.
Do they have to coexist?
They do. They already do. Most of the people you see that are big in religion practice spirituality behind closed doors. There are rituals in the Bible. In the Bible, there's an actual ceremony that takes place where you have to slaughter a lamb and throw it on the altar. That's a ritual. Yeah.
That's a whole ritual. Right.
I don't know about where they're from, but where I'm from, if you slaughter anything and use its blood to do something with it, that's a ritual.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So if you guys think for 1 second, the T.D. Jakes and the John Mayers, if you think for 1 second they're not being spiritual.
Is it that they aren't teaching, or why is there such a gap? Why don't their followers know?
I'm going to be honest with you. And I only learned this because my mom is like a deaconess in the church and stuff like that. So every year, every single church, any church in the U.S., I don't care what kind of church you are, as long as you get those federal tax breaks and you're sanctioned as a church in the United States, every single year, the Vatican the Vatican cross seas, they hold a conference. It's either the Vatican, they hold a conference. Mm-hmm. And every year that's when they decide what 100 scriptures the churches are going to read. Every year they get 100 scriptures. Now they don't care when you read these scriptures, but you can't delve away from these scriptures at your job. That's how you get what you get. You have to do what we tell you. So that's why if you go to church in New York and then you go to church in Germany, you're like, I just heard this shit. No, I just heard this. Like, yes, because everybody's on the same schedule. Everybody preaches the same thing. They preach from the same books. Why do you think there are people that went to church 30 years and a person like me will go, well, so you don't know about, I don't know, Job chapter 6, verse 2-8. And they'll be like, no, what the fuck is that? Yeah, because the pastor never was sanctioned to go into Job.
I don't know if Zoom don't want us to tell the truth out here. But we glitching a little bit. I hope that it's okay. If not, I'm going to put the video up anyway, because this is information that I feel like everyone needs. And you know, normally I haven't done video with the podcast, but this one is going up on the website because this is information I think. And I don't think I hope people didn't turn it off when they realized what the topic was. But I think it's important that we talk about this and why, for me, I felt like religion was so detrimental to my well-being, my mental health, because it makes sense now. Those who were over me, my so-called shepherds, weren't sanctioned to teach me, and they didn't teach my parents, and they didn't teach my grandparents. And so everything that was taught to me was antithetical to who I was as a person. All I got, my experience with religion, and I think a lot of people say this, it is self-loathing, fear, trembling, serving others first. My niece came home from church camp one year and was saying, God first, other second, then I'm third. And I was like, what?
What?
Like, yes. But this is what was put into her brain, to the point where she came home, and this was after they put on a full theater-esque interpretation or depiction of people going to hell. They literally set some of the woods on fire and had some of the actors kind of show what it was like to be tormented in hell. And then they ingrained in them, God first, other seconds, and I'm third. And it worked. It worked.
Because think about what they used to do to slaves. If I buck break or kill one of y'all in front of everybody else, now the rest of you motherfuckers gonna fall right in the line, aren't you? Because you're gonna be like, oh shit. You're not gonna do that to me, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. If I show you, and we're kids, these are kids. So if I show you hypothetically, this is what hell is going to be like, you're gonna be like, oh shit, I'm not going there. Okay.
They're gonna be like, raise your
hand. Like, it's really this hot down there?
Thank you. One Jesus, no. Please. I'll take one Jesus and one Holy Ghost.
There you go. Okay. What? Don't forget the Father and the Son. Give me both of them at the same time. Like, yeah, it's because we don't, it's fear mongering. Like you said. Yeah. But can I just say something? When you said that at first, my face said, God first, others second, and then me third. And I was like, what? That's crazy as hell. Spirituality says the same thing though.
Okay, how?
Listen, spirituality teaches you to put spirit first. If we replace God with spirit, because that's what spirituality does. We don't say God, we say universe or spirit, right? Uh-huh. So that's your connection, your devotion to yourself, well, to your spirit, to the universe, nature, because that's your direct connection to spirit is nature. Nature is a direct reflection of us, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm putting nature, universe first, others second. Spirituality teaches that. Spirituality teaches you always put the needs of others first. Okay. Not to say to put you last, but what they're saying is you be charitable, you be giving, you be loving, you never be mean-spirited to people. You know what I'm saying? You do to others as you want done to you. So putting others first is okay, because in all reality, that's how you reap a better blessing, mm-hmm. by being a blessing to others. That's spirituality.
Why does it feel different? Because I don't think you would have had that reaction if it didn't feel different.
No, and so but I had that reaction because of the context of the conversation we're having. Yeah. So you were talking about, and I'm just in the motion going, oh yeah, no, somebody, God first, because we were talking about God and religion.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I don't know. And then I thought about it, I was like, Leslie, wait, wait a minute. It goes to tell you what I was saying. It's all the same thing.
It's all the same.
It's all interchangeable. They literally just switched up the lingo, switched up. I'm take this piece out, put this here, take this out, put this here. And then look, now you don't have hamburger. You got shepherd's pie.
It's still beef. Yeah.
It's the same thing. You said it feels different, though, because of the system that we've been, it's been fed to us. That's why it feels different. A lot of people are just hurt. And I'm saying people are hurt by religion and by what they perceive as what religion has done to them and their families.
It makes sense, but it's like for me, and I think for a lot of people who, because I think there are people who are still, you know, when I came out of religion, I was pissed. I was pissed because I felt lied to. I felt manipulated. I felt betrayed by my church family, by my elders, by the priest. And then as I go into what I don't know is a spiritual awakening or a spiritual journey. And then you're telling me it's the same thing. And I understand that it feels different because of the packaging. But there's got to be something. I don't feel as this pressure to be something that I'm not outside of religion, and not necessarily saying that I'm in spirituality, but outside of religion, I feel like I have the freedom to explore and the freedom to be and the freedom to love and the freedom to think.
This is kind of what I was about to touch on. I think a lot of people feel hurt and disappointed from religion, just like you're just saying. And it's because when we first get into religion or have memorable knowledge of religion, we're young. And at a young age, if somebody comes to you and says, oh, you know, if you just believe in God, he's going to take away your worries, take away your cares. You tell him what you want. And Jesus, God, he's going to help you. And then throughout the years, you see, shit, this happened to me. I was molested. I was beat. I was that. I told my parents this or that. And then, you know, they disowned me or they didn't mess with me or they. That's where your hurt comes in. That's where all that comes from. That's the disappointment. That's because when you were a child, you were reassured that this entity was going to do so much for you. But what you didn't realize is the people that were telling you that were just as inundated as you. So now these people that are telling you this, even the pastor, you can believe in God, but you also got to believe in yourself, right? Like they say, faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. So you can have faith in this, but you still have to put work in. You can have faith that God's not going to put you through any hardships, but you got to be real with yourself because in reality, things happen. Life is hard. This is how you grow. And see, if you were taught those things with that backing, because that's what spirituality does, it gives you that backing. If you were taught those things with that backing, you wouldn't feel disappointed in religion. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't feel hurt by religion. And if you were in a religious house that was actually a family, most churches aren't. I don't care what nobody say. Superficially, they are, but you know they're not. It would also be different. The pressure we feel doesn't necessarily come from the book. It comes from the people that are standing in the pulpit with the book. And that's why a lot of us put the book down, even though the book is the helpful tool. The people in the pulpit aren't really the helpful tool. It's the book.
So it's the energy that's put into it and then shared with the rest of the world. You know what? As someone who I've gone through this hard road, I wish that I would have had someone to talk to back then, because, you know, when we come out of it, we throw the baby out with the bathwater, whatever. Uh-huh. We throw the baby out with the bathwater because things don't make sense. Some of those stories don't make, like, you're not going to convince me that a donkey was, you know, getting punched in the face by an angel and then was like told his master, hold up, pimp. You're getting me in trouble. Like these stories, they just didn't happen. But like you said, there are things. I think there's a lot of bullshit that they put into the book to hide that connection to the spiritual, you know, like the Psalms and the Proverbs and all those things.
I'm going to challenge everybody, you included, and everybody who will hear the sound of my voice or watch this video, right? You can go on YouTube and type in Bible etymology, E-T-Y-M-O-L-O-G-Y. There's this amazing sister on there. They deleted some of her videos. You could probably still find a couple. I don't know, but they've been deleting her videos. Mm-hmm. And they break down a lot of the stories in the Bible and read them for how they're really supposed to be read. 3 Kings coming to bear gifts. No, three stars guiding somebody into their, it's different. They literally break down everything. Wow. You don't have to throw away the baby with the bathwater when you can get some use for the baby and not right. the bathwater.
Get a little bit of use for the baby. Okay, so
okay.
What are some good spiritual practices that you think can help with having good mental health? Are there any, I don't even know how to pose the question because I'm not a practitioner of any sort of, you know what I mean? I'm just out here freeballing that thing. You know what I mean? And so I don't know. I do feel a connection to my ancestors. I have my grandfather. He's right behind me right there, mm-hmm. sitting over me. My godmother sitting, watching over me. And I made sure to place them there very recently because I was like, you know what? I feel like their energy and their blessing have been upon me all this time.
You're missing somebody.
I'm missing somebody?
You're missing somebody.
In mm-hmm. the back here?
Somebody's missing. Yeah, somebody's missing. You said grandpa and who? Godmommy?
My grandma, yeah.
You had an aunt or somebody else? An aunt? Another female?
Yeah, but we weren't close. Does that matter?
No, not at all. Because as soon as you started naming them, she was like, so I'm just chopped liver out this motherfucker. And I was like,
are you? Wow. Okay. You know what? Let's go ahead and transition into that thing.
But wait a second. No, because I didn't want to do that because I actually wanted to answer the question.
Now I'm
good
like,
mental health practices. Okay. But when you started talking, she just clicked it on the side because you were like, oh, he's right here. And then she was like,
me. It's so weird because, you know, my mom has a twin or, you know, she just mm-hmm. recently passed away and the relationship was very dysfunctional. You know, I do remember a few good moments with her, but we never had a really close relationship. And you saying, shaking your head like that, don't give a, okay, all right.
Nope, no.
Okay.
You know why? Because y'all all have the same blood. And then when you transition, all this shit here means absolutely nothing. When I say absolutely nothing, it means can you change it or can she change anything that happened? So it doesn't make a difference. Her job now is to protect her bloodline. Her job now is to make sure that you guys are moving in the direction y'all are supposed to be moving. Her job now is to make sure that everybody has a good relationship with each other. So there's actually somebody that you need to mend a relationship with in your family because she's like, yeah, that's why I'm here. This is what she's here for. It's not about the relationship y'all might have had when the person, not just her in particular, but when the people are alive, it's not about that. When they transition, it's literally now they have a job to do. So everybody thinks, oh, I'm going to transition it. No, now you got work to do. You have work to do here and you still got work to do when you transition. Okay.
Oh, so wow. Okay. Okay.
Having a good relationship here just makes it easier to connect there. So if you had a very great relationship with her, you would probably smell her and hear her, all kinds of stuff, right? Yeah. Which I believe you probably do with grandpa, right?
Yeah.
Because, he's making it feel like you know when he's around.
Yeah.
Right? You know when grandpa's around. Mm-hmm. Okay, there you go. So had you had a little better bond with auntie, you would know when she's around you because she's always around.
Wow. I'm not gonna lie. I'm blown away.
So that's her job. Her job.
Okay. And that, you know, I'm glad that you said that because I guess here in what we call life in this space and moment where we are alert and alive, I think that's what we think about is that connection and the things that happen while we were alive, as opposed to, well, you know what? Like you said, they're gone. Mm-hmm. And so regardless of what the earthly relationship is, girl, you just blew my mind. Legitimately blew my mind. And I don't think 5 years ago I would have been open to hearing this and exploring these things.
Me either.
Yeah.
So how about that? Me either.
For people who still think this is a little different or weird or outside of their comfort level because they are still film over their eyes as a, you mm-hmm. know, over what is real and what is not and what is connected to us, you know, internally, spiritually, from our ancestors and all those things. What are some good spiritual practices or mental health practices for you?
So, and this is going to be the number one thing that helped me through everything was journaling. I don't care what nobody says. Journaling, writing down things insignificant things, things that I thought were big. And I'm saying that because at the moment I was so stressed and I was going to, I don't know, melt down. And then if I go back and read it now, I'm like, girl, bye. And instead of me, because I used to be one of those people, something happened to me, I wanted to tell everybody I was cool with because I needed sympathy. I don't know. I needed somebody to be like, Les, it's going to be okay.
Need affirmation. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I learned to give that to myself. And journaling helped me with that. Because like I said, I can write something down. I like to reread things over and over again. Like I'm an overthinker. I do that. So if I write something, I'm going to read it multiple times. So I'll write it down and a couple days later, go back and be like, girl, you are. Yeah, it helps. So I honestly think spiritual-wise, journaling and grounding. Now, when I say grounding, I think a lot of people that are in the spiritual community, they're going to say, oh my God, yeah, she's talking about, you know, going to the grass, put your feet in the grass and let your energy, because that's what I tell people to ground. I tell people go into the earth, anywhere, park, backyard, doesn't make a difference. Anywhere there's grass and soil, just plant your feet in the soil, take about 10 or 15 deep breaths and just relax. Literally, labor your breath as slow as possible and just feel the earth. Right? Because what that's doing is the earth has a vibration and you have a vibration. So what it's doing is leveling out your vibration using the earth's natural currency. Mm-hmm. But when I say grounding in this instance, I'm talking about becoming secure and familiar in your surroundings. Okay. A lot of us get so worked up that some of us black out, see colors because you're worked up and you're getting every part of your body involved in this work. Now, when we get mad, that affects your liver. It affects your heart. Okay. Getting stressed and angry and mad affects more than just your emotions. It wears and tears on your body. So I tell people to ground. I think they tell a lot of people that are autistic to do these things, but this is why I have something fuzzy on my keychain. Because when I get ready to punch somebody in the face, this
is there. It's there. Yeah.
There you go. It's but I keep this because it's soft and it reminds me to be gentle. It's a reminder, right? So I tell people to ground, have something by you, squeeze balls, stress balls. So when I say ground, I mean, get a sense of familiarity. Okay, no, this is not something that I need to die over. This is not something that I should over exaggerate. This is not something that I need to take to the 50th level. No. Mm-hmm. Let me handle this situation for exactly what it is. Let me be logical. Let me be level-headed. So that's when I say spiritual practice, ground, stay grounded. Make sure that you're always in a mindset so that you know what's going on around you, how it's affecting you, so that you're not being reactive. You're being proactive. Oh, I already know what you're going to say, what you're going to do. So let me not play into it. Mm-hmm. Or I see where this is going. Mm-hmm. Let me not play into it. Grounding.
That makes perfect sense. And you know what? So my therapist, when I was dealing with anxiety on the highest level, she, which takes me back to what you said earlier about they are practicing these things. But dude, she would tell me, if you are in a space and you feel anxious, go outside, change the texture, change the atmosphere, stand on the concrete, stand in the grass, take deep breaths, because you know, you're giving your body kind of a jolt in a sense. You know, you were in this one space and so now you're getting acclimated to another, but you feel those different sensations. And as you were talking, I was like, well, I'll be gosh darn.
I'm telling you.
Yes. I had no idea, but yes. I hope that this talk has really resonated with people so they understand that you don't have to be afraid to seek out, seek therapy, but also to do the work spiritually. It doesn't go against your religious practices, as you pointed out. So it's the same thing. So I am so glad that we actually got to talk again, because this is what people need to hear.
Funny you're saying that, because a lot of the spiritual people have therapists.
Okay.
A lot of spiritualists have either went through therapy or have therapists. They are intertwined. Your spirit and your mind and your spirit are literally like almost, they're inseparable in a sense.
Yeah.
So it would only make sense that, especially people that sit in seats like me, we need somebody that will just listen and help distress us. You can do so much, but sometimes you do need that other energy. Like you said, this is an energy exchange. Mm-hmm. So somebody like me going to a therapist, it's another energy exchange. We all need those energy exchanges. So I would say that to people that listen, right? Just because you're spiritual doesn't mean you don't need a therapist. Just because you're religious doesn't mean you don't need a therapist.
Yeah.
You might need a therapist based on you.
And I don't know if I needed a therapist because of now, you know, for a gay kid in church, that you're talking about trauma. I feel like now more than anything, I'm grateful for not the trauma, but that experience, because I don't know if I would have ever found this version of myself before it was too late, before I'm 80 years old and can't enjoy myself. You feel what I'm saying?
That's why you had the trauma. That's why you had the trauma. See, when you delve a little bit deeper into your spiritual journey, you're going to start to realize something. Mm-hmm. Everything you perceived as a trauma was actually to help you become the amazing, beautiful, wonderful person you are. Earlier in my journey, I didn't really know how to perceive and handle my trauma. I thought it was all, you know, somebody's against me, the universe is against me, God is against me, everybody was against me. And now, being further actually getting into a spiritual journey, if that's what they want to call it, and coming into certain understandings of things, I'm starting to realize I wouldn't be the person I am today
without it.
Without it, I wouldn't be able to relate to more people. I can offer better advice, I guess, to people because I've been sitting in so many other seats.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people want a good, easy life. There's no growth in a good, easy
life. In a good, easy life. You're true. That's the truth.
Yeah. Think about all the spoiled, bratty, rich kids. They usually don't really have a sense of self, right? Mm-hmm. They're usually, like I said, spoiled, bratty, rotten, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them might, you know, have that drive, but that's because they want the money to continue and they know that the money is.
Yeah.
But as far as spiritually, a lot of them, emotionally, they're usually not the nicest people. They're usually, mm-hmm. So it's like, sometimes going through experiences mold you and shaped you. And like they say, pressure makes diamonds.
Yeah. And I do feel shiny. I feel very shiny.
There you go. Okay. There you go.
Real talk though. I feel like a lot of things that I've been hit with lately, the person that I was before would not have known how to bounce back, would not have known how to keep moving forward, not have known how to utilize other resources to get where I need to go. That old me would have been like, well, it ain't for me. But again, mm-hmm. going through some of those little T traumas have really shown me you work through those. This is how you work through this. And then because I'm calmer now and I've been working with my therapist on this spiritual journey, I'm more grounded when these situations come. I just hit you with the headline and I keep moving. I can appreciate that. And I'm hoping that this conversation, one, leads people that I know or who might not know of you to you. Because it's real. Like, this is the first time that I've talked with a spiritual counselor. One, your words are intentional. Two, that you're not talking out of your butt or, you know, these ambiguous. Because, you know, it's almost the same as a prophet in church where they yep. talk out of their butt and they say these things that could
mean anything. Exactly.
Yes. And then, you know, you are going to go outside and you are going to, you know, it's like, duh, I have to go to work. Of course I'm going to go outside. You know what I mean? But I feel the intention in your words. I feel the energy. So I've become way more open to it. And I'm hoping that people are lucky enough or their spirit is guided to someone that can help them on their spiritual journey too. Because this is a journey. And it's a journey of reconciliation, I want to say, with that disconnected person or atmosphere or energy that we were separated from.
And I think that kind of actually goes back to what we were saying with religion and why that weighs so heavy on us. It's mm-hmm. because we're going back to something that feels familiar, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know what? I'm just going to say this, though. But the people that are meant to catch this message, they're going to catch it. When I do my readings, all signs and all that stuff, before I turn the camera on, every time I say, whoever's meant to catch this message, I hope they catch it. Or yeah. guide who's meant to catch these messages
yeah,
to the message, right? Spirit plays no games.
So, Leslie, tell the people where they can find you.
So, everybody, you can find me a couple places. You can find me on Facebook as Leslie B, L-E-Z-L-E-E. B-E-E or Tarot Vibes. You can go, I have a Tarot Vibes page. I have Tarot Vibes booking. I have Tarot Vibes on Instagram. You can check Instagram Tarot Vibes. You can check TikTok at Tarot Vibes. You can go to lovelyvibes.com. Okay. Within the next month or so, I'm going to launch live videos from lovelyvibes.com. So you definitely want to put that in your bookmarks. Okay. We're going to do like sessions and everything from lovelyvibes.com. Mm-hmm. So those are the ways you can contact me. Lovely. Remember, but you can just text me. You can find me on, look, you can just find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or lovelyvibes.com. Okay. We're going to be doing lives and everything from lovelyvibes.com. So you want to put that in your bookmarks, TikTok, Instagram, lovelyvibes.com, Tarot Vibes,
yeah,
or Leslie B. Those are the two accounts, TarotVybez or Leslie B, LezLeeBee.
Yeah. Okay. And you ain't got to worry about it because guess what? We now have show notes. So all that information is going to be on our website. My website is going to be on the Sessions with My Therapist Facebook, the Buzzsprout, where if you go there, you want to listen. But we definitely have show notes wherever you listen to your podcast, and then you'll have all this information there. And within a click, you can be talking to Leslie, experiencing what I have experienced. Half, which has been amazing. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. I cannot wait to have you on the show again. We got so much more to talk about. We got to break.
We have
so much more to talk about. So
I absolutely love this energy exchange. Thank you so much. I love it when like minds connect. So.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm here for it. And I know the people outside that are hearing this. I know y'all feeling it too. Don't be afraid to channel into the spiritual.
Okay, there you go.
This is what you need.
Come
on in. Thank you again, Leslie. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Miss Angela. You're welcome.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. It was an amazing conversation, and I hope that you got as much out of it as I did. You know, what I love about having open conversations with an open mind is that you learn so much. You know, the key to evolving and growth is learning and exploring new information. So I definitely want to thank Leslie B for joining me, and I cannot wait to have her on the show again. If you're interested in hearing my personal reading, which was spot on, by the way, you can continue listening. And please know that I got my aunt a cigarette, and I think we're square because a few things came to pass after this recording. If you keep listening, you'll know what I'm talking about. Also, if you're interested in talking to Leslie B and having your own reading done, check the show notes for her info. I'll be putting her information on the website, sessionswithmytherapist.com, as well as on the Sessions with My Therapist Facebook page. In the meantime, do what you gotta do to connect body, mind, soul, and spirit. I love you, and I hope this helps.
Your energy is what's going to draw the people to you, right? Yeah. So if this is going to be your baby, mm-hmm. podcasting, this show is going to be your baby, you make that a direct representation of you
mm-hmm.
on all levels. And people are going to come because it's you, mm-hmm. if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
It's your energy.
Yeah.
It's your energy. You keep your intention and your energy focused on your baby, and it's going to bloom. It's going to grow. It's going to blossom. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
But you can't get swayed by two things. You can't get swayed by your emotions and thoughts, and you can't get swayed by competition. Mm-hmm. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it.
I feel you on that. Okay. I feel you on that. And I don't, and you know, Leslie, I don't, you know, when I sat with this after, I'm sure you, did you listen to last week, you know, the early episode this week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I sat with that for a minute, and I sat with the intention that I wanted it to out that energy that broadcasts across the airwaves. I wanted that energy to be intentional. I meant yes. every word that I said in it. This thing.
And that's why I loved that video.
Yeah.
Because that video was pure. Yeah. It was you saying, whatever happened. There's no ill will. I'm not mad at any of that. Mm-hmm. Now it's time for me to take my talent and do with it what I'm supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
That video was amazing.
Yeah.
You keep getting that energy. keep giving it.
Yeah, that's the energy I've dedicated. This project means so much to me. It ain't about money and all the other shit. I want people. And it started out with just Black people at first, but I see it bigger than that. I want people to feel good, to live a good life, to have that energy that where they feel like they are thriving and they are content. You know, we've had enough shit and enough sadness. And I know what it's like to be at the end of your rope. And mm-hmm. So for me, this thing is absolutely personal. I want everyone who encounters this podcast, encounters the videos, to know that you're not alone. I've been through it. And there's a community of people who have gone down this road, and that there is hope, there is peace, there is love. And I want there to be a community of people that the other people that we can all lean on and say, I'm having a hard time. I'm struggling for this. And the first thing you see when you get up in the morning, again, directing that intention into having some good energy around you. So when you in the morning, you don't see no bullshit. You say, look, we fam and I got you. That is the intention for this podcast. And it's okay that things didn't line up, you know, initially. It did what it was supposed to do.
Yes. I was just about to say, honestly, I feel like for you, it was more because you needed that. You needed that confidence.
Girl, you better get out of my mind here.
I read cards, but I only use the cards at the prop because people like them and they're cute. I don't need
cards. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just put that out there.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head.
I don't really need them, but they're cute and everybody likes them. When you go, oh, look at the cards, people like it. But
yeah,
no.
So you ain't reading the cards.
Trust me, I tell you, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because your intention is pure.
Yeah.
Your intention, like you said, it's not for the fame. It's not for the money. Yes, all bullshit aside, you want some notoriety. Cool, mm-hmm. We all do. Who cares about that? Mm-hmm. But that's not your intention,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
You're very well spoken.
Thank you.
Your energy is, I keep saying your energy because I don't think you understand. I don't see people like people see people.
Yeah.
I see energy.
Yeah.
And your energy is amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
It feels good.
So don't shortchange yourselves. Yeah. Okay. Don't do that. You just keep it how you have it for the moment until what you need is really offered to you.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And if what you need is never really offered to you, trust me when I tell you, you will do fine as a one man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe that. And like you said, it was I needed that shot of confidence that mm-hmm. you can do it. You can do everything that needs to be done. And then realizing when I got up the next morning, you've been doing it.
Just
keep doing it. Keep doing it. And, you know, that story that I told about my friend calling me, that was true. I think that was the universe in itself saying, girl, get your ass up. You've been doing it. Keep doing it. I'm going to provide. You will be provided for. And I believe that. I believe that. I'm good. And I feel good about this. I feel it's like, dude, I got like slick goosebumps because I feel so good about this. I feel like it's going to. People who know me, they know my intention for this. They know what I've been through. They have seen me homeless. They have seen me distraught, despair. You know, they have seen me at my worst.
Yeah, at the bottom.
They know.
Mm-hmm.
They know. Again, like you said, you go through those things. And I think it's this armor that's being built up. And so I have a heightened sense of empathy, heightened sense of love and forgiveness, and because I have gone through that shit. And so when mm-hmm. I see somebody struggling, I don't just say to myself, well, I hope they're okay. No, I reach out what you need. And I might not be able to give you exactly what you need, but you know that I'm here for you. And that's my intention.
And that's why you're going to be amazing. Because it conveys across that way. It doesn't come across like anything else, to be honest with you. It comes across that way. Yeah. So that's why I'm telling you, you're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. You don't have to worry. Because I feel that's one of your worries.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry. Okay? that and something with money. You don't have to worry about either one.
Yeah,
of those.
I'm broke. Totally. I'm broke.
Join the club. Okay? I went to Jamaica for my birthday and came back like, you better do a whole lot of reading, son.
You better get, look, you better pull out them cute tarot cards and get the people what they want. Dude, I feel you. I've been putting a lot in, I'm not going to say everything because I do put some things into shoes and shit and Ray-Bans, but I have put a lot into this podcast too. So bitch is broke. Like, yeah. I'm over here stunned. Y'all think it's, I'm thinking about selling all this shit.
You don't got to do that.
I'm good. Okay. Okay. But
look, you don't got to do that. So honestly, you know, it's so funny. So outside of the podcast, do you do like some sort of like a delivery service or driving, something with driving or something?
I don't do it anymore.
You used to like taxi or something like that?
No, I used to deliver for the store that I work for now. I used to do deliveries. Yeah. But one of my friends, he does delivery for like Postmates or something. I thought about getting into that to make some extra money.
Yeah, I think you should, because they're showing me something with you driving and it looked like something with deliveries. So that's why I asked, like, were you driving? Because yeah. So maybe that's how you just get a little extra money to keep it so that you still have time to do your podcasting and stuff like that and still make some extra money, because they're saying something with you driving, doing deliveries. And then you might end up with like a mobile therapy unit. I don't know where this is coming from, but a mobile therapy unit. Mobile therapy. That's what it sounds like they keep saying, a mobile therapy unit or mobile, something therapy mobile. So maybe you'll be going to people, you know, maybe like this, right? Except for it's not an interview. You're pulling up on people and you're just talking to them, letting them vent, letting them work through what they need to work through, or you know, maybe it's going to be something along those lines that you'll eventually come up with. But yeah, they're saying something about mobile therapy, something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where's the driving coming into play too, huh?
I don't know, but you know.
I wouldn't mind pulling up on somebody like, you straight? All right.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. And it doesn't take much.
Yeah.
It really, you just said it yourself. It usually doesn't take much when people are in messed up predicaments, to kind of give them a different outlook or to, you know, change their mood for a little while. Like, okay, yeah, I know you're going through a lot. You might be, like you said, homeless, right? I can't house you. But what I can do is take you where you need to go so you can get your housing situated. Mm-hmm. Or I can come and drop you off whatever you need to fill out here, all the paperwork for social services or whatever it is. You know, maybe if you were in domestic, I could take you to the traveler's aid or women's shelter, you know, something just so you can... Because I really feel like that's what it is. It's an avenue or a way where you'll be able to help people. But your other thing is you don't like to feel tied down.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because you don't like to feel tied down, you doing that from behind a desk or something would never work.
Yeah. Okay.
Wouldn't work. Yep. So sometimes I got to think outside the box. I don't know. But this is what they're telling me to tell you. Okay.
You know what? The more that I think about it, it's making perfect sense, you know. And he asked me not to talk about it too much, but my friend has started like a charitable foundation and we've been kind of, it's slowly building, but we were talking about my place in it and what he does isn't for me. You know what I mean? And he's mentoring and stuff, and not saying that mentoring, but that ministry isn't for me.
Yeah. It's not for you. Yeah.
I just talked to him about integrating the podcast with the wow.
There you go. Wow. There you go.
Wow. And that that wasn't even at the forefront of my mind, but I've been thinking about it more because I'm like, I don't really want to do that part. That part ain't sitting with me. You know what I mean? The way that I would be needed to work on that end of the charity. But we did talk about it and he was okay with it. So, okay.
Yeah. There you go.
I'll take that.
There you go.
I'll take that.
Listen, so they have a lot in store for you.
Okay.
I have a lot of stories. And it's going to be so beautiful how it unfolds to you, because you're bringing, so I think on the last one, we were talking about a niece or something, because they're telling me you're bringing somebody with you. So you're bringing somebody with you for this ride, for this journey, and it's going to be, you have a job to do.
Okay.
You have a job to do, and don't get scared at any point in this. Don't get overwhelmed, because at some point you will feel really overwhelmed. But listen to me and remember what I'm telling you. They're overwhelming you so that you can see just how much you can really handle. You're going to be okay.
Wow.
You're going to be all right.
I receive that. I do receive it. It's what I need. You know what? It's what I needed to hear. I already feel it, because, you know, I'm in school, you know, working a job. I am doing this thing, it's a lot. It's a lot of, I might not be physically moving a million different ways, but my mind is going a million different ways. Yeah. And you got to keep a home, and then you got to, you know, it's like,
yeah, it's overwhelming. Yeah. It's a lot. You'd be like, should I pull my hair out now
or yeah, I swear. But yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to say, don't thank me, even though I'm kind of, you know, the middleman here. But you have to now do me a favor.
Okay. Hold on. Zoom.
I divulge this secret information to you. Have to get Auntie's.
Hold on one second.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Zoom.
I seen it.
But... Don't do that. Okay, what's the favor?
Okay, yep. So what you have to do now, you have to get Auntie's picture and put it up back there.
Where am I supposed to get that from?
Mom, I'm not sure. And if you can't get a picture of Auntie, then you write her name out, her name and her date of birth, and your best handwriting, and stick it up there with the other two.
Okay.
Either or, if you can't get a picture, just write her name out and her birth date and put it up there.
Okay.
Okay.
And she's okay. She good.
She's fine. She's better than all of us. Let me tell you. She's better than all of us.
Okay.
Yeah. So can I tell you something? This is funny, but certain vices that we had here, even though we can't physically do those things on the other side, we still have, like, you know, like, say somebody like to drink a bit.
She want a cigarette, don't she? I got you, Auntie. I got you.
There you go. Okay.
There you go. Okay.
Okay. Just write her name out, stick a little Newport or whatever up there, and just.
Wow.
There you go.
I already knew.
There you go.
Okay.
So yeah. Yep. So that's all you got to do for that bit of information. That's your even exchange for the information. Okay.
Yeah. Would it be possible for you to tell me, or is it something that I would have to figure out on my own, what kind of offering my grandfather would want? Because I don't know. Like, we were close, but my grandfather always seemed to be the type, he's like my dad. They never tell you what they like. Everything, every reaction is the same. You know what I mean? Or is that not something I should concern myself with right now?
No. So I'm going to be honest with you. Ancestor offerings come from the heart, right? So if you don't know specifically what he likes, mm-hmm. I would offer him things that you would like him to have.
Okay.
General offerings are alcohol, rum, whiskey, usually rum or whiskey. Mm-hmm. Depends on what they like, though. If you know that they like scotch or gin, then you can give them scotch, gin, tequila, whatever. Mm-hmm. General offerings, in the event that you don't know specifically what your ancestor would want, are just incense, candles, white candles, any kind of incense, doesn't make a difference. I would use frankincense and myrrh. Mm-hmm. But incense, white candles, glasses of water, and any kind of alcohol that you like or they like. Wow. That's really general. Oh, and flowers to symbolize, you know, earth, beauty, mm-hmm. any kind of flower. A flower, if you know their favorite color, mm-hmm. gray, blue. I don't really see gray flowers, but blues, anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
Just get flowers of that color and
okay.
stick right there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. And I got you, Brenda. I got you.
But so his thing, was he a car guy? Something with cars?
Well, he had this truck that he had throughout my entire childhood and mm-hmm. even up until the end. Like, we were all trying to figure out who gonna get this truck. I wish I knew who had it because I wanted it. Not because, you know, I wanted to be driving it, but I felt like I remember some of my best memories are with him in that truck, you mm-hmm. know, sitting in that. And it was one of them old school Fords, if I'm not mistaken. And it was that one seat in the middle where we were all in together, you mm-hmm. know. Those are some, you know, some of the most vivid memories. So that was
his thing. You know, because, yeah, he started talking about cars. So what I would do is I would get a replica of the truck and put it up there.
Okay.
I would get a replica of the truck. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't have a replica, if somebody happens to have a picture of the truck, mm-hmm. I would put that there.
Okay.
I would put that.
Okay. I'm going to check with my parents. My dad, I'm sure he might have one.
Like I said, general offerings or tailored offerings. As long as you are offering these things from the heart and just trying to build that relationship between spirit and here, you can't go wrong.
Okay.
There's really no wrong offering as long as your offerings and your intentions are pure. Mm-hmm. These are your family members. These aren't some primordial deities that you have to stand in a certain direction and say a chant. You don't have to do it. These mm-hmm. are your family. So they know your intention. They know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
You just give from the heart.
Okay.
Cook them a meal every now and then. Make one plate for the three of them. Say, hey, guys, you know what? I just felt like I cooked today, made y'all an extra plate.
Mm-hmm.
Put it up there. Just moving from the heart, giving to them freely from your heart.
Yeah. Okay. I accept that. I can get with that. So, Leslie, thank you so much for joining me.
Welcome.
this has been an experience, and it's more than I thought that it would be. You know, I didn't have any preconceived notions, but, you know, and this idea of, like, you know, you're writing out your script and your outline for your podcast, and these are the questions that you're going to ask, and yada 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 yada. Yes, it has far outreached anything I could have prepared. So I want to thank you. And I hope the listeners enjoy. I hope they get something from this. And I hope that it resonates with them on how to move forward, connecting the spiritual to good mental health practices. So I definitely appreciate it so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. And I couldn't leave here without pulling at least one of these cute cards for you.
Oh, okay? Not the cutie.
Okay. You had
to get one. Okay.
Look, you had to get one, so that's kind of what got me here. This card is nice, though. This is a new deck I have.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you something. The card that you have is so funny because I feel like this sums up everything we have been talking about,
mm-hmm.
right? You have this Evolve card. Evolution.
Wow.
Evolution is,
you know what?
The basis.
That's what, I don't know if you can see it, but right there it says Evolve. Yeah. Yeah.
See what I tell you?
Yeah.
Spirit,
yeah.
Never. I'm telling you, listen to me. Everything that happened to us, good, bad, and ugly, spirit provided as an experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As an experience. I just need to keep that in your mind. It was all an experience. You needed these experiences. So you could evolve. Right?
Yeah.
So this says creative ideas evolve out of the invisible and profound nothingness of proverbial consciousness. Did you hear that?
I heard it. Wow.
It evolves out of the invisible and profound nothingness of proverbial consciousness. That means all of your evolution comes from thought. Whew. Everything derives from thought.
Yeah.
So you can heal yourself with thought, or you can kill yourself with thought. Mm. You can evolve or you can devolve. Mm. It all starts with your consciousness, aka your thought. Your thought.
I was gonna give you the last word, but I feel like you just gave it to the people. It starts and ends with thought. That's true. That's the truth.